We're off again. Good evening, afternoon,
morning.
Morning, chaps. How's it going? Good evening, all, and welcome to another episode of At Random Podcast. My name is John.
I am Jackson Matthews.
And my name's Rick Timmis.
And today we're going to be talking about Kinect for Windows after the release of the full SDK on the 1st of February.
So just to clarify, this isn't like, this is something distinct from Kinect for the Xbox, isn't it? This is like Kinect that you can use on like a Windows PC.
Yeah, so I guess the release is kind of twofold. So they've released an official driver package, which works with the traditional Xbox Kinect, which you might already have lying around your house.
Because people have been doing hacked things with this for a while now, haven't they?
Yeah, so hacked drivers came out probably days after the Kinect did. Definitely within weeks, but I suspect even sooner than that, to pull off the information off the Kinect bar. But this project signifies kind of Microsoft's official, hey, it's cool by us if you want to keep writing software for Kinect.
In fact, it's what we had planned all along. After we beta tested it on your consoles.
So we're going to have a bit of a chat about the kind of Kinect drivers for Windows, I guess. But they've also re-released the Kinect bar. And there's a tiny tweak to it, which means that they can now use it up close. So the Kinect bar for your Xbox is limited to getting a good resolution of data when you're at least something like 70 centimetres away. But the new one, I don't know if it's a physical switch or if it's, you know, I suspect they changed the lens or something, but it works up close now, 30 centimetres away.
That's good.
So the idea is you can actually use it while you're kicking back in front of your PC now.
Yeah.
And you can wave at the computer and it can react to you. So.
And you don't need a living room the size of a barn anymore.
No, even my living room was barely big enough to use Kinect, and I had to move right to the back. And it's not a massive room, but it's not small either.
No, that's right. I mean, how many people have got a massive room? I mean, if this thing's going to be used by, like, however many millions they want it to use, and not everybody has got living rooms that big. I don't know if the state of play is better in America. I'm sure they've all got bigger houses over there, but...
Well, yeah, space is less of a premium in America, because obviously a massive... land mass, so when you build a house, you build it big.
yeah, that's right.
So I thought we could kick off by having a look at some of the things that are already appearing around the Kinect.
Yeah, and what the applications of this thing are going to be.
Yeah, and then moving to looking at the future and seeing where it could be going in a year or two's time. It's quite interesting. A little bit of background, I guess, but obviously the Kinect came out, it must be like a year and a bit ago now.
It's been that long. Jesus.
I think so, yeah. I'm sure I had one last Christmas.
Maybe? Yeah, it still feels like new tech to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's been about 15 months, say, give or take a little bit. Then, obviously, the hackers got going. Wow, 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 wow. Ooh, look at all this cool stuff we can do. But it's all been pretty quiet for the last 12 months, and I think...
It's because they realised they couldn't steal any personal information from it. And they gave up.
What, Microsoft aren't storing your credit card on the Kinect bar then?
that's the dream, isn't it, yeah.
Just wave your credit card in front of the Kinect bar and it'll enter the details for you.
Yeah, it's probably got a little RFID reader in it. Yeah,
you could do that though, couldn't you? You could actually have it read your credit card.
Hello Dave, I see you like to dress up in women's clothing. Let me recommend a good retailer.
The name's John, actually.
Names have been changed to protect the guilty.
So you can check out some of the videos on the Microsoft site, and they're a little bit dreamy, I think. We all agree when we looked at them. The marketing department obviously heavily influenced them. But a couple of them are actually based on technology that's currently being used around the Kinect. And that's at Kinect for Windows. So type in kinectforwindows.com. Type Kinect for Windows into Google when it comes up first.
You'll get there in the end.
And there's some pretty cool videos on there. I mean, I'll gloss over the ones that are, I believe, true and in use now. But there are physicians using Kinect in a few places around the world to sort of swipe through photos, Minority Report style. So it's not using it, you know, it's not pushing its boundaries or anything. It just means that when they're in an environment like an operating theatre, they can
clean
move
environment.
Through, move through technology without having to take the gloves off. Obviously, I have no historical knowledge of how this would happen, but presumably, if they need to look at something on a computer, they have to take their gloves off, mash a few keys, wash their hands again, and go through this whole laborious process where now they can just wave their hand through the air, and pull up a menu and do simple UI.
Without having to touch anything, because it's quite a dexterous activity, isn't it? Like activating keys on a keyboard and clicking on this, especially with the with something like the Windows interface as it is. Oh, sorry, I singled out Windows there when like it's the. I mean like the desktop PC interface.
Yeah.
I made it sound like bloody Windows again. Yeah. Well, actually,
sure, Rick won't mind if that's the impression you give off, Jack.
But yeah, with desktop computing, it's quite a. It's you can't do it with gloves on, basically, can you? So I mean, if he's there like with covered in like blood, why is that squirting out? Hang on, let me just look it up. Wikipedia says, "Oh dear."
You laugh, but I do worry that that's probably how it happens.
Wikipedia will be much better by the time this happens, though.
but yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold, isn't it? Really, like you say, you don't want to get the stuff on your gloves on the PC. But more importantly, you don't want to get your gloves dirty and infected with all this. You can't sterilise a keyboard with 100 degrees of steam.
No, that's right. The two things are just incompatible at present, aren't they? They just one does not flow into the other.
I'm sure while the use of a computer in those circumstances is fairly minimal, you do see the need to go through images and x-rays and scans, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
If you've got a camera or something which you're poking around the body and you want to alter that image somehow, then I'm sure it's beneficial to have wave your hands access.
Well, a 3D projection of the inside of this person, like up above the body, would be quite handy if you can like see what's going on as it's happening. You know what I mean?
I always think that's quite amusing. That's always the dream, isn't it, with 3D? You watch all these futuristic sort of videos and films and things, and the dream is to have. You just move your hands and the 3D model rotates.
Yeah.
Now, I suspect we've actually been able to do that for quite a long time.
Yes, yes, that's right.
But everyone thinks that's the pinnacle of technology. It's like, wow, a 3D model that's projected holographically.
That'll,
and you get to move it with your hands. And the reality is that when as soon as you get that sort of technology, 99% of people are going to go, I don't really have any 3D models and I don't really want to look at them.
Well, I can see in a medical environment, though, I mean, one thing that comes to mind that would be very, a real practical use, first of all, the interaction, as you say, in a clean environment, but if you were perhaps performing some kind of complex surgical operation on somebody and you had access on the screen to their MRI scans, for example, mm-hmm. where you have got 3D imagery and you can basically take that through and look at, you know, reference that material whilst you're there, looking at the person, so there's their MRI scans with the thing that you're after, and here you are performing the surgery. This would be very useful.
Incredibly
the fact
so.
That you can just, you know, utilise that like that, and then you can extrapolate that from there as to how that might help even more. I mean, I wonder. I mean, they were showing that person playing a violin, which I debunked straight away and said, "Well, I hardly think it's got the resolution to do that," and I really do doubt that. But you know, I can see the potential. There's been this kind of distant surgery idea, hasn't there, for a while, where the surgeon can operate through remote control of some device or whatever to perform an operation out in the field. You know, for example, perhaps in Africa, where you're running an operational centre and you've got a doctor that's performing operations, and it's such a vast area that zooming that doctor around the place is not practical use of his time. So he operates remotely on all of these things, and maybe that Connect centre might be useful in that.
There was I forget now whether it is in one of the kind of dreamy videos or in a real life scenario, but one of the videos that we did flick through was the guy controlling a robot with the Kinect, and that was obviously similar but not so crucial a scenario. But there was that video of the guy basically controlling a robot hand with his own hands. I suspect a bit like we were discussing in our previous show, there'd be major lag implications in a surgical environment. Oh, sorry, the broadband's going a bit slow. But there's blood shooting out of the heart. What can I say? I've got a 400 millisecond delay. You have to wait.
Let me reset my router.
Yeah, the bullet's still there, but his heart's out, sir.
But I think the interesting thing about the violin is there are examples of people using the Kinect to track all the fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So while I think the problem with it is purely the form of the hand.
It's the bow. Mm. It would be the bow. That would be the difficult bit. Because the motion of the bow is dependent on speed and angle, and that's really, really important in the violin. And it's only a tiny amount of angle change between one string and another, and also the amount of pressure that's put on the bow to create this note backwards and forwards. And that's that's kind of like such a fine motor skill that I can't see a Kinect being able to pick that up. Yes, it might be able to position the fingers, and there probably is enough distance between one note and a tone on the string or a semitone on the string that the Kinect could probably detect that.
Mm.
But the motion of the bow, no way.
But where I was going, I think on a piano you probably could do something reasonably good.
Yeah.
It'll be fake piano.
All these instruments like the violin, it'll be the musical equivalent of auto-tune, won't it? It'll say, okay, you're probably going for that note. You out there, you dropped a few notes here, and then it'll smooth it all out for you. Mm. You know what I mean? So you won't actually be playing the violin, but you kind of will. You know what I mean? You won't. It just won't require as much talent to produce something that sounds musical. You know what I mean?
And it's just people behaving like tits. It's like playing air guitar, isn't it? It's not the equivalent of an auto-tune. It's the equivalent of the player piano, where you stick the music in on a roll and it plays it and you sit there smiling, don't you?
Yeah.
It's like, I can play this. That's the same thing, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
But no, so... But I think that segues nicely into educational uses for Kinect. I think, underlying all this, one of the primary selling factors for me in all the things that we have discussed and will discuss is the fact it's so cheap.
Mm.
You know, this isn't a piece of equipment which you have to get a loan to purchase.
Nope.
This is something which you can pick up from your local shop for 80, 90 quid and then plug it into the Windows PC you've already got. So this is functionality that any one of us could have at home with less than £100 expenditure. I think that's where the real value of Kinect comes in. You know, like all these things we're talking about, even that setup in a surgical room might only cost a grand. PC, monitor, Kinect, done. It's not like they have to fork out tens of thousands of pounds like traditionally for this sort of technology you would. But because they've released it for a gaming purpose, they've managed to shift enough units to bring the price right down. So.
Yeah.
I mean, just talking about the technology itself, I'm probably for a little bit of clarity in the podcast, but what functionality and features does the Kinect Bar have that the Xbox or Windows or whatever we want to plug into it can tap into?
It's got a it's got a sort of reasonably standard high def camera in it, which pulls out the real image. But then I believe, I'm not 100% on all the exact technical details, but I'm more knowledgeable about what gets pulled off, as it were. Mm. But then I think it has a second camera, so it constantly emits infrared beams, which kind of does a search scan of the area, almost like a weird type of radar, I guess, but using infrared. And then there's a second camera which picks up how they come back, so it can actually track movement within the room, and then more specifically, it can track movement of limbs on a person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if the Kinect has a processor built into it to actually pull back and then transmit the skeletal information directly. But I'm under the impression that it does, so you don't have to worry about any of that kind of rubbish when you get the data. It's not like you just get masses of boring data. Regardless of whether it's the Kinect or the API, you can very quickly pull the skeletal form out of the data you're getting. And then obviously that resolution can go right down to, I believe, the fingers in some implementations. So,
So this thing's accurate then? This is... I mean, for something that's supposed to be, it was originally a gaming device, this thing's, like, powerful.
Yeah, I think it tracks, I'm trying to remember right back to when it came out, but I think it tracks something like 21 body parts or something. So if you were doing the hand, you probably wouldn't want the rest of your body in it. You know, I mean, it'd only be if you programmed it to do so, it could track your hand with your fingers, maybe both hands and your head or something, but you wouldn't do all your hands, all your fingers, and all your toes.
Yeah, at least not yet, I suppose, yeah, not in this early.
But I suspect there'll be an HD one in a couple of years' time, or maybe with the Xbox 720 or whatever they call it when it comes out in the next Xbox. I suspect this is a bit of a tester session, really, for whether the technology was viable.
Yeah, because I mean, it is pretty radical. I mean, even in like the even in the sphere of like motion gaming, where Wii's been like firmly established that hey, this thing works, and Sony's done something very very similar. But the Kinect, even in that sphere, has gone like another way, and they've marketed it very effectively. But I think in itself, it's a very interesting piece of kit. I mean, the more you talk about what it could do about like recognizing bones and hands, the more I think about like applications. I mean, what would be to stop taking this thing, slapping it on a Johnny 5, and this thing can be its eyes? It's not just looking at the shape of thing; it can tell how far away you are and what you're doing. And it's, I mean, if games can do this, if games can tell what dance you're doing, then a robot could infer.
Bit of the old chicken dance you were doing there, Jackson, in your chair.
There's a dance made for radio. That one, yeah.
Sorry, Jack, I interrupted.
No, that's pretty much the it's pretty much the strength of it. It just sounds more and more like this thing could be the eyes of. I mean, it has a microphone as well, doesn't it?
That's the other element, I guess. I'm not entirely sure what part the Kinect hardware plays in this, but one of the things that the Kinect has really brought into the Xbox is voice control, and it seems to be some part of the equation seems to be actually very efficient at doing that voice to text conversion.
Is that done on the firmware on the Xbox, do you know, or is it done by the software in the API?
I'm not 100% sure whether it's part of the driver or there's a hardware component built into that. But I do know that it's pretty damn good at it. So we are probably talking kind of drag and dictate kind of levels, you know.
Right.
Which, as we've seen from the iPhone and iPad app, is...
It's pretty accurate.
Accurate enough, you know, especially if you're playing a game and it only has to pick between 30 verbs.
I mean, for me, I have to say, I'm not... kind of I don't play as many games or as much variety of games these days, but I'm very much where you are with this idea of, you know, slap it on the top of a Johnny 5 or that kind of stuff. I can just, it's kind of those kinds of applications that I see as being useful for it, useful in robotic environments. I think also I was thinking about vehicles, you know. I was thinking to myself, I wonder whether it'd be possible to mount a device like this on the front or on the top or in the you know, somehow on the front of a vehicle, and it'd be able to detect where the other vehicles are around in proximity and so on and so forth.
Completely.
You know, and with the combination, I mean, I know there's been software developed to look at analog images from cameras and be able to detect where the side of the road is and then drive a vehicle based on that. And of course, you've got this high def camera in there, and then you've got this kind of sort of infrared. Now, if you then added the sonar sensors that you get with a car onto the front of a car, you know, have you got the technology and the device information there to be able to autopilot the car, like, you know, so cars could just be driven by computer and you could relax in the back. Great for going out clubbing on a Friday, wouldn't it?
Except that the blue screen of death would be really the blue screen of death, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but of course I wouldn't run it with the Windows on Windows 8. That would be completely futile.
You'd be running a Penguinect.
Absolutely, I would, yeah. So, I'd be running that on Linux. Which they've done. I mean, I was looking at this Libfree Connect or Libfree Nect, which is the open source library for interfacing with the Kinect, which obviously is accessible on Linux, and you just got to write some software to be able to do stuff with it. So it'd be, you know, provides the APIs in that sense. So it'd be really interesting, I think, it'd be really interesting to see what the open source community could do with that, and whether they want to embrace that and take that forward. Because the open source community is very powerful at being able to create really creative and kind of slightly differently thought out software.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what they can do.
Yeah, I think the Kinect and the drivers are providing the platform and the technology. So the shift is almost the other way around. Quite often, you're trying to mash one bit of technology to do something else. But in this scenario, we've actually got some good technology and we're just looking for ideas now.
Mm.
You know, we're just waiting for some really good ideas to come out, and then the implementation will probably follow pretty quick. And I think that's why we saw so many hacks in the first few months, you know, ranging from cool finger puppets that are projected from your fingers to, you know, actually serious hacks like the trolley that followed the guy around in the wheelchair.
Mm. I'm going to try to seg back into the educational applications of it, and we can talk about that for a little bit. But one thing that comes to mind is I was looking at a project that was sponsored by Google, which is called Khan's Academy, and that has loads of different lessons, and it's almost like a kind of educational school. Well,
the wrath of Khan's Academy.
But anyway, I mean, khansacademy.org is the website. Go and have a look at it and you'll see there are lessons in computer programming, science, history, whatever you want there, and loads of them all done on YouTube and this, that and the other. And I can see this situation whereby, you know, very simply with a Kinect and a screen, you could have a distributed classroom with a teacher, perhaps in a studio or in the teacher in their home, with the kids basically sitting and being taught and lectured to, and if the children want to interact, you know, put their hand up, boom, it pops up on this lecturer's screen. You've got this interaction then, haven't you, between them, you know what I mean? And at the same time, it stops the little buggers talking to one another because they're not actually sat next to one another, and they can't pass notes either. So, you know.
Well, but the reality is I have all these sort of 14-year-olds, and their bandwidth will be rubbish because they're actually running World of Warcraft on the second monitor.
Yeah.
And Skype on the third. So they're not hardly looking at the middle one. They're just like, yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Click, 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 click. Ooh, Paladin level up.
Yeah, you may well be right. But I think that could be, I mean, if you look at like the schools at the moment have got these drawing boards and then we can go and draw on them and this, that and the other. So, you know, with a touch screen or something like that, the kids, you know, come on, little Johnny, come and write the answer up here. So up you go and write on the board, and up it goes on the teacher's thing. I mean, it's all kind of there, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
I think that'd be quite a cool application for it, wouldn't it? Because as your interactive whiteboard aid, you know, there's no reason why. I'm not saying it would replace an interactive whiteboard, but you could definitely use it to augment that whiteboard.
It could do with a bit of effort.
Get some kids in the class to manipulate that whiteboard from wherever they are in the class, without having to walk up to the front with a pen. Well, I say with a pen, that's probably the worst thing you can do on an interactive whiteboard. My old fashioned ways. I'd be the first to go in there with a £10,000 whiteboard and use a permanent marker on it.
Take that! Well, I mean, obviously traditional schooling being what it is, that's fine, and I'm absolutely sure there are applications for it there, but there is a big and significant movement amongst parents to this idea of homeschooling, where the parents are schooling the children themselves, and these homeschooling form into groups where they school the kids and they meet up two or three times a week to interact together, because it's very important that the children get social interactions as well in those environments. And you can see, I mean, I can almost visualise the scope of a project to code something up using this Kinect that would perhaps blend the kind of video conferencing features and the Kinect features and the interactive whiteboard features to enable that kind of homeschooling environment to take place. So, you know, that has got some legs as a potential business model, that has that kind of thing, if somebody was to do that.
The question is, for something, all that kind of stuff, do you need a Kinect to do any of that? I mean, I've been thinking for a bit like the potential, I mean, it is pure counterpoint stuff, but the potential worry on Kinect's behalf is that if there's all these different applications, all these different possible applications and like lots of little like hackery projects, is it likely to get traction in any one area, or does Microsoft have like a plan as to like the kind of things they're going to target? Does anybody know or have any thoughts on?
I actually think that Microsoft has taken a very forward thinking approach to Kinect. I think they released it for the Xbox,
What do you mean, progressive thinking or like
ahead? Like progressive.
Okay, yeah.
So kind of a modern way of thinking moved away from their kind of old Windows model of going forwards.
Hmm.
But I think, from what I can tell, they released Kinect, hoping it would be popular, but obviously not 100% certain. Oh, fantastic, the gamers are loving it. That means they can keep knocking them out, the price will come down, they'll keep selling it to us at the same price, which means their profit margin will go from tiny to bigger over time. That's great. And then people started hacking with it on Linux and Windows. And now there were two things they could do. They could be kind of old-fashioned Microsoft and say, hey, dudes, this is our technology, leave it alone. Or they can do what they've done and embrace that community. And now they're in a position where they've released their SDK, so they're in a position to support developers who want to make technology out from their Kinect.
Mm.
They'll obviously still get some of that pie in the sort of Apple App Store sense. You know, like if someone releases a teaching system that's based on Kinect, then obviously Microsoft make money because every school in the country buys 100 Kinect bars. And then probably 20 more every year because they'll get broken, etc. But what I think was really cunning was they saw that this technology could take off, and they have been kind of very defensive about... They've been defensive, but in the open way, which is the right way to do it. So they could have locked it down and said, no, this is our technology. If you want to develop for it, you have to apply for a development kit. We'll give you the software and stuff, and it'll cost you £500, and then you're in the club, as it were. Mm. But then some other company would have come along and released something similar, and then sold that, and then everyone would have just bought that. But they've basically, by opening it up, they've kept loyal everyone who's going to develop this software.
Because they still need to buy Kinect, I mean, you're not going to be out of pocket on that score.
But also by having the Gaming Foundation, no one can sort of build something equivalent for less money.
No.
Because they're not going to sell 10 or 50 million of them, so they're going to have to charge three times as much.
Mm.
And there's no other reason not to buy Kinect, because they've given you the SDK.
Yeah.
They're all like being open and happy. They'll support your apps if you write them. They'll put them on their website if they're good.
Yeah.
So actually, they're giving you everything you need, so there's no room for the competition to come in with something similar and take it all away. And that's actually very clever of them, very astute. To have gone the open approach, which actually is so open that everyone wants to be in the club, and there's no other clubs appearing, you know?
So you think their plan is just to, like, have everybody buy one for various purposes, because it's such a useful, concentrated tool, loads of people are going to be buying it, and they don't care who buys it, basically. They've not got, like, they're not planning to, like, sell them to the military, and they didn't have one specific function in mind for it, you mean?
Mm.
Well, I think that there's another possible potential here as well, and that is that, of course, we don't exactly know what's on the firmware in the bar, and it's probably quite likely that the firmware in the bar sits there waiting for an internet connection and then just starts feeding everything off your camera and all the motion detector back to the central government servers at Redmond in Washington, and then, you know, Bill and Steve sit there and just can big brother over the whole world and do all that kind of good
stuff.
That's
why my internet goes slow whenever I got the Kinect turned on. Who am I kidding? Virgin Media, it's always slow. Lucky if they'll get like the odd snapshot and think, what? I think there's also interesting applications for using them at home, which is obviously great if they can get more consumers on board with it. So when it's at home, obviously the voice recognition is possibly more useful than the sensor tracking, because you could walk into your living room and just say 19 degrees Celsius please, and it could just do it for you.
Sorry, when you said that, I just had this idea of the room being nice and warm, and you walk into the room and go, 19 degrees Celsius, please, and suddenly the windows break. But of course, that happens all the time, doesn't it?
But we had a dream, didn't we, about 5 years ago, Jack, when the Wii came out.
Is this the one about the flying horse?
Pegasus. No, we had that vision, one of our short-lived ideas, where we could play movies and control our media from the couch with just the Wiimote and hopefully some voice control.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And we were like, oh, it'd be so cool. We'd be able to just say, stop video. And then we played with some tools for about 2 hours and got bored of it because it was actually not easy.
Not as straight.
But now it probably would be a lot. It would actually be easier. We probably could do that.
So don't you just... I mean, I've already got all of that kind of stuff. Just go, wife, fetch me beer and nuts.
What's your success rate like?
Well, yeah, I usually end up with beer in my nuts.
Oh, your nuts in the beer.
Yeah, or my nuts in a vice. More like it. Oh, dear.
But no, I think it would be... there've been quite a few attempts at trying to have this assistive living environment, and it's never really taken off. But Kinect might, well, somebody might do something clever with Kinect, which gives it a bit more of a kick in the right direction. Because
something it gets built into, or like a device that needs a connector. I mean, are people going to be able to? I suppose people aren't going to be able to sell Kinect as part of something else. Like, I couldn't build like a vacuum cleaner with a Kinect built into it, take it to the shops and say, please sell this, you know?
That's exactly what Microsoft probably want you to do.
What, like sell, like resell the Kinect?
Because then every time you build a vacuum cleaner, you're going to be paying Microsoft £70 for a Kinect.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So that would probably be the dream for them, if someone brought out a laptop with the Kinect bar integrated somehow.
Because they will be selling those to people, won't they?
Because the only way you can get a Kinect is by buying one off Microsoft.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll be like wholesaling them, you mean?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, your factory in China from your wonderful vacuum cleaner with eyes idea.
Yeah.
Hope that goes well for you, by the way,
it's
Jack.
It's pretty dumb when you say that.
But no, I mean... but yeah, I mean, obviously, your factory in China is going to have to get the Kinect from somewhere.
Mm.
And that'll be Microsoft's factory. So.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can see this happening now. So they're essentially selling it not so much as a standalone product, but as like a part you want to use in your whatever. Yeah, and I can see all that working, so long as there's no reason for it to do badly. I mean, it's a very singular, robust piece of kit from what I can make out. I mean, like the
things. I thought it would be quite cool to set one up as a security camera in my hall. And if someone walks into the house, obviously that's when you trigger the recording.
Yeah, yeah.
And if, presumably if it's infrared, you can record in the darkness as well. So you can
oh,
get
that's
a nice...
Right.
The
outline of them, yeah.
But then, you know, imagine if your house got broken into and you can go, well, the guy that broke in was actually 5'11". Kinect told me so. You walk with a bit of a limp and here's the video.
You're putting out so much body heat, I couldn't see it.
What we need, well, like that video we saw the hologram of the helicopter projected on the wall. Now, as you were saying that, I'm thinking about your game, thinking about what you were talking about, the SDK stuff you were doing in the last few days for Skyrim, and I suddenly had this vision of the burglar breaking in the dark, and all of a sudden these words being spoken, and all of a sudden the burglar's attacked by some troll in the hallway, like, you know, the burglar passes out and the coppers come and arrest him. When he comes to, he goes, I broke into the house and I was attacked by a huge troll. Yeah,
yeah, imagine opening the door, unauthorised entry detected.
In fact, I've even got a name for your company, Awesome Alarms. Awesome Alarms. And with them, yeah, you can imagine the marketing for it, like a, like for example, the cave troll out of Lord of the Rings. That's the picture of the image, isn't it? You know, would you break into this man's house?
And instead of holding a club, he's holding a Kinect. And then just to finish it off, put the internet troll face on top.
Yeah, I was going to say, the troll's coming out of the internet and into your living room. Yeah. So the projection stuff, that wasn't part of the Kinect, but that was some other technology, I take it.
Yeah, so that chap had essentially got one of those little Pico projectors, so one of the pocket projectors, plugged it into his laptop, but then he was using the Kinect to track where the person was who was looking at that image,
mm-hmm.
and therefore the image being projected would change. So it looked like you were looking at something under this piece of glass.
Yeah, yeah.
I say piece of glass, it was a table. But the effect that you get is that there's something happening behind the table,
mm-hmm.
and you can see through it. Hence, when you move your head and turn it, kind of, I want to say rotate it 90 degrees, but you're not turning your head 90 degrees, but you're moving it 90 degrees around the object you're looking at, then you'll go from seeing one side of the object to the other. And that's just the projector projecting a different image based on where your head is and looking at the image. So.
Right.
But that's, I mean, thinking that through for a moment, that's like if you took that helicopter image in Blender, for example, so it's sitting there in this animation package and you just use your mouse to just scope around it in 3D, that's the software for that is already there, that, you know, that moving around and seeing the image. And all you're doing is using the Kinect to emulate the mouse by basically picking up the person and then projecting the image. But that's got to have some really interesting gaming possibilities, hasn't it, for being able to do... I mean, obviously, that was made to look like a 3D hologram just because it was... But it wasn't. It was being protected against a 2D wall, so it just created that illusion. But in-game, or even utilising that technology of projecting against the wall, because you're not then looking through a screen or a window, are you? You could have a big scaled image, the whole size of the wall, if you want, with the Kinect looking at you, and then be interacting with the game in some way, with a little bit of clever use of the software. That'd be pretty damn cool.
I should say. I mean, the applications for gaming alone are incredibly interesting. It frustrates me when you don't see what you think are the obvious applications of the thing being made into games. I mean, when I hear of this, I think to myself, I may be wrong, if there is a game such as this, then feel free to correct me. But something like a fighting game or a kung fu game or something, and rather than like doing it with your pad, here's your guy, he's on the wall in front of you, and don't punch a hole in the wall. That's very be very irresponsible. But like if you're punching like at his face, it reads your punch, and the guy reels back, so you're actually like punching at a guy in front of you. I mean, something like that would seem to me to be. I mean, like Halo. Does Halo have like Kinect integration? And if so, what's the extent of it? Because I would have thought it doesn't. See, I heard it's got a little bit in the sense of like you shout grenade and then your guy throws a grenade, but essentially you're still doing it with your sticks on the pad. And you think to yourself, Jesus, surely you want to be able to pick up like a broom or something and be walking around with it like a rifle. And the thing is reading your movements as you're turning around and stuff. And obviously, you'd be turning away from the screen, but that's what we talk about with this in conjunction with all this projection business. So if you're turning around and the projection's like following you around, those two things work well together. But I guess I'm always surprised that that sort of stuff doesn't happen sooner. I mean, like take the Wii as another example. You think this thing is made for sword fighting, and yet we haven't seen a good sword fighting game. It should be easy. You just attach a sword to the bloody controller and... I mean, the closest thing I saw to it was on the Sony Move controller. They're bringing out another Metal Gear Solid game, which basically involves chopping everything up with a sword. And I think to myself, that will look really, really accurate. It's the sword game that you've been waiting for. And then I heard the other day that it got cancelled and then it got revived again. I thought, why would it have been cancelled? It's like, why would that game, of all games, have such a rocky start? Mm-hmm. You think this would be a dead and easy sell? And I'm surprised at what they don't use this stuff for in the sphere of gaming. It's always like things where you like move your hand around. I mean, the dancing, okay, that seems like a good fit. That seems like using the thing to its potential, if you like dancing and jumping around. But for the ones of us that like to shoot people or punch people in the face, maybe they just don't want to cater to that.
Yeah, that I think the problem is the level of control you can get, you know. And
is it limited?
With all these, well, Kinect, Move, all of them. You know, generally, a mouse is the most efficient way still to pick out the exact pixel you want on the screen, which essentially is what you're doing when you're aiming at that guy who's only 3 pixels big at the back of the behind the mountain. You know, so I guess they have to kind of dumb the game down to make it work with these, and people don't want to buy dumbed down versions of the games.
Yeah, but surely they're capable of like a certain level of a level of detail that would be sufficient enough.
I mean, Resident Evil 4 on the Wii, that was an example of how great it could be. The other problem with Kinect is it's still very new technology.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no mechanism other than saying to someone, you've got to hold a controller while you're playing it to actually move around with some sort of fidelity. You know, because I don't think it's really viable to play a 3D game with Kinect where you have to turn corners. Yeah. You're not going to be looking at the screen anymore.
You might be able to do it with hand gestures though. With a bit of thought, I'm sure you could like make it fully controllable with your hands. If you like got your gun with hers and you use this, you're going like this to turn around corners or something, and then you're firing with this hand. You could. I just think if they like. This will probably come when there's more confidence in the product. They'll probably release a Kinect-only game, but at the moment they don't want to say, hey, here's the next Halo game, but you can't play it. You haven't got Kinect. That kind of thing pisses people off. So, yeah, I guess I understand the reason for the slowness of the transition, but there's just so many great ideas. You wish they'd get on and make them.
I think the peripheral that's... Sorry. Sidetracking a tiny bit, but the Move was the one that I found most disappointing. A copy of the Kinect. But yeah, the Kinect is...
You mean the copy of the...
a copy of the Wiimote. But I think the Kinect is still very new, and it's going to take game designers a long time to make a game which can be played with or without it.
Mm. Yeah.
Which works well on both. I think it's too much of a leap at the moment for someone to make a Kinect-only game about a serious topic. You know, because... The Kinect-only games that you see at the moment typically are the ones that have got, you know, $200,000 budgets. If you're making a Halo game with a $10 million budget, you don't want to exclude anyone from your market.
No, not at all, no.
And you especially don't want to mix it up so much by saying, by the way, it's all done with your hands now. And, you know, yeah. That's not really Halo, because I'm used to playing Halo with a controller.
Yeah.
So I can see why it hasn't happened yet.
I used to play Halo with one hand.
Well, I think it's got lots of potential, and this is only a first iteration of it, but the idea, when it was brought to market, was quite radical, really. I mean, I think it sort of came from nowhere, and everybody went, oh, yeah. It was one of those things, wasn't it? It was that's obvious. We should have done that.
Yeah.
But they've gone and done it. And so now it's a case of, I mean, they can improve that technology. I mean, as you were talking there, you talked about that, well, you can't turn corners, because if you turn corners, you won't be looking at the screen anymore. Made me start thinking to myself about other applications, because the HD camera allows you to see the face. So now you can use facial recognition technology to identify a person, but also you can use that technology to recognise facial expressions, see if somebody's smiling or not, see if somebody's head's nodding or if they're saying no. Well, in an adventure game, for example, that'd be really cool, wouldn't it? Like, you know, somebody steps out and says this, that and the other to you, and so you're smiling and looking at your mates, and this thing says, what are you smiling at? What's going on? Well, you know, that would be, like, really, really cool to see that kind of stuff. And so I think, you know, the potential is there. Maybe, you know, I mean, you can see that, like, there's a picture somewhere on the net showing a darkened room with an infrared camera that shows you all the red dots over the place. But there's a reasonable gap between those dots, depending on the range of distance. Well, you know, what if you were to use refractors to make those dots scan, or if you included more beams in, or if you put sonar in, or you put, you know, it wouldn't be that expensive to add that kind of technology and then feed that data onto the board. And then all of a sudden these problems of resolution that you talk about would start to go away.
Yeah.
And so then, yes, you know, you could point the gun and it resolved that, yes, you're pointing at his head, poof, and blow it off and so on and so forth. So
how's about this? Here's an idea. You got, if you have, you know, when you're watching Crime Stoppers and the guy in the hoodie comes in and you're seeing it all on the, he comes to rob the liquor store, and you're seeing it all on through the shittiest camera imaginable. I mean, they never put Kinect sensors in a off license. I'm not saying that would happen, but if you got
probably get nicked.
Have the Kinect, bruv. if you like imagine a room where these Kinect sensors are running, and then when it comes down to the investigation, when somebody gets like their legs chopped off by a crazy madman, if you want to see what happened, you can actually see what happened, because this thing's been recording the thing in 3D rather than just seeing it through a camera. So you can actually, you could actually walk around the scene with like your VR goggles or whatever they want to use. But the point is, it's recorded the thing in 3D with this collection of beams going on. You can have full room reconstructions. I mean, they wouldn't bother installing these in the rooms where it mattered, so they're probably just in bank vaults and things like that where nobody goes anyway. But this is a possible, like, a bit of a sci-fi sort of application.
And again, the cool thing is, the cost of that would be, what, a couple of grand?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a no-brainer, isn't
it? Put four Kinects in and a PC, record it all, and then just use it if you need it. I guess there's one final topic, which I think is the perfect thing to end on. And this is one of your ideas, Rick, so I'm not going to steal it off you, but you mentioned it earlier, the idea of a room with four Kinects, four projectors.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So, well, this was, as I was listening about the way Microsoft had embraced the open source community, and, yeah, the idea is this, I just wondered whether, what if you had, like, take a square room, and on each wall, you've got a single Kinect, so you've got this, like, three-dimensional view. Could you then get that by using some kind of projector or whatever? I can see that heading towards the holodeck idea, because you've got these, you know, these four things that can see exactly where every single thing is in the room. You only need the holographic projectors then to be able to put things in the room, and before you know it, you've got this awesome holodeck. Now, Kung Fu fighting Tekken and that, you're just so cool. Mortal Kombat, come on, oh yeah!
Yes, that's it, that's what we need, that kind of thing.
I'll buy that Microsoft Holodeck. That's the only Microsoft product I'm going to buy. The Microsoft Holodeck. I want one of those in my man shed.
That's the one they have in Star Trek, isn't it? The Microsoft Holodeck. Oh, the safety protocol is broken again, and people died.
Oh no, we've been hacked.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, how often does the holodeck reach out into the rest of the ship and control other systems? It's like, who else could manage such a thing?
Oh, brilliant. That brings our revolutionary visions of the future to an end.
That's it.
For one more week, at least.
See how many of them come true in the future? All of them is the answer.
Because we'll make them happen, damn it, if we have to pay for it ourselves.
That's right, exactly.
Get in touch with us. Let us know what kind of entrepreneurial ideas you've got for the Kinect, so we can patent them. Email us at show@random.org. Hope you've enjoyed the show. My name's Rick Timmis. I'm signing out and signing off.
My name's John Wordsworth, and I'll be disappearing into a holodeck in just a few minutes.
I'm Jackson Matthews, and I endorse this product.